Brian Hunter could tell something was wrong his freshman year in college. Brian took so many naps between classes that his pals called him a hibernating bear. But bears are pretty energetic after a snooze. Not Brian.
A lot of times, I might not look it, but I am so tired I almost want to cry. It's just like, let me just sleep. If you think about yourself, if you've ever been up for a couple days, you don't really care if it's a sunny, beautiful day, you just want to sleep. And that's fine once in a while, but if you can think about life where every day is a sunny day and you'd rather just be in your bed sleeping, it's pretty dramatic.
The most common marks of narcolepsy are nighttime insomnia and abrupt daytime sleepiness. Some people even fall asleep in the middle of an intimate conversation. In addition to the suffocating exhaustion, Brian has another symptom, sudden attacks of muscular paralysis. The first of these brief episodes hit on a college camping trip. Brian and his buddies were lounging around, cracking jokes.
And I laughed really hard. And I kind of fell on my knees. I couldn't help myself, but I kept laughing because it was so funny. I just fell on my knees. So after that, about every week, I'd have two or three episodes where if I'd laugh, say if I was sitting down, laughed, my arm would fall down or my muscles in my face would get weak. Or if I was running around playing catch and someone said something, I would get weak in the knees. And there was a time there that my friends kind of used it as just kind of a joke. You know, if they're going to throw me the ball and they didn't want me to catch it, they'd tell me a joke and then I'd fall down and miss it.
This sudden paralysis is called cataplexy. The attacks usually last for a few seconds, but can sometimes stretch into the minutes. Cataplexy is often triggered by intense emotions, like laughter or elation. Brian Hunter is most susceptible in warm moments with family, close friends, or a sweetheart. Sex is a particular challenge.
A lot of times, you'll lose muscle control. Just foreplay, you'll collapse. Luckily, you're probably laying down, so it's not that big a deal. And it just puts a damper on the whole thing. And I guess no one's really complained, but you never really know.
Brian is 25 years old. He's a gentle, soft-featured fellow with friendly blue eyes. He has a steady job at the University of Minnesota, is unmarried, and wants to go to medical school. Brian is good-humored about his condition. He's founded a support group called Young Adults with Narcolepsy, or YAWN. Brian takes medications to control the narcolepsy, but even on his best days, he feels fogged in by fatigue. Experts say that in narcolepsy, natural sleep events like muscle weakness and dreaming abruptly intrude on the daytime. Dr. Emmanuel Mignot heads the Stanford University Center for Narcolepsy in Palo Alto, California.
They may be talking to you and being very, very sleepy, and suddenly they may start to dream, but before really being asleep, and they would hear voices of people talking, or they might see even someone coming in the room that doesn't exist. But it's not like an hallucination of someone that has schizophrenia or a psychiatric disorder, because usually they know that it's because they're very sleepy and they're kind of dreaming awake. That is different.
An accompanying problem is sleep paralysis, a complete loss of muscle power when drifting off or just waking up. Chris Johnson despises these moments of dreaming awake when the day and the night merge.
The dreams, hallucinations, and things like that are always scary things. Somebody attacking me. I kill off my dad and my brother quite often. Those poor guys are always in accidents and things like that in the middle of the night. And, you know, everybody's had those dreams too, like where you're trying to run and you can't. Or you try to scream and you can't. It's just, you can be wide awake and they happen.
Chris is a school teacher in the small Minnesota town of Becker. Her father also had narcolepsy, and while the disorder appears to be genetic, it is not often shared by immediate family members. Chris's narcolepsy can be controlled with medication, but at the moment she can't take the drugs because she's pregnant and they might harm her baby. So Chris is on leave from work and stays home with her 2-year-old daughter, Callie.
Mommy finished doing her dishes?
While her husband Eric is at work, Chris keeps extra busy at home.
I do better if I'm moving than if I'm sitting down, so I haven't been sitting down a whole lot today, which is kind of why Callie's kind of clingy because I haven't sat down and played a whole lot today. I've been doing other things. So if I sit and play, then I get really tired.
Chris no longer drives a car because she dozed off too often and had too many hallucinations behind the wheel. The Johnsons arrange their domestic schedule so that Chris is alone with their daughter as little as possible, and they try to make Callie safe during Chris's inevitable bouts of narcolepsy.
She can go up down the stairs, but we leave the gate up so she can't wander downstairs during the day.
In case.
And everything's out of reach, just to make sure.
I had an attack a couple weeks ago, and I fell asleep on the couch. You were outside, weren't you, mowing the lawn?
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep. I said, Kelly, Mommy has to sleep. Yeah, night-night. Next thing I knew, she had blankets on me, and all of her, every stuffed animal I think she ever slept with, it was like 90 degrees out. It was so hot. I fell asleep, and she sat right by my feet and played, and I was out for about 15, 20 minutes.
To meet Chris with her wavy brown hair, her broad smile, and her rattling conversation, you disbelieve that she could ever run out of fuel. Eric Johnson remembers the first time he met his wife.
Really couldn't tell if she had it. I mean, there's just a few instances where she would fall asleep, and you thought, well, you know, that's kind of weird, but...
But otherwise, she was very energetic.
Yeah,
I mean,
normal.
Sort of
what you would think is normal.
Studies suggest that narcoleptics have a higher than normal divorce rate. The way Eric tells it, his wife's narcolepsy is something to deal with and not to resent. He seems an easygoing fellow and even admits there are some marital advantages to the illness. For example, when Chris gets too angry, she can topple over flat.
If you get into the argument, I'm bound to win if I get her going fat enough because she's going to fall asleep. Yeah, I win.
Well, yeah, we've done that a couple of times. Where we've gotten. I remember one time I was so mad I wasn't even thinking, but I was just so mad and I was, oh, fine, I'm leaving. You know, going for a drive. And I walked down the hallway and I went and I got to the door. And I fell flat on my face into the kitchen. I just got an apartment door open. And then you were so nice to me until I was fine. And then you went right back to being mad again.
Chris and Eric Johnson work hard to accommodate narcolepsy. Like many others with the condition, Chris now looks back at her teenage years and realizes she started developing symptoms in high school. Studies show that most narcoleptics live with the ailment for more than a dozen years before the case is properly diagnosed. At Hennepin County Medical Center in Minneapolis, pediatric sleep expert Jerry Rosen says that narcolepsy usually takes hold in adolescence. Because the disease typically goes unrecognized for so long, Rosen worries that narcoleptic children get ambushed by exhaustion in critical years of their personal development.
Almost all have had great difficulty in being successful at school, and this is even with kids who are very bright, very well motivated. The presumption that the teachers will make is that in younger kids, they're not getting enough sleep, and they attribute that to the parents not doing a good job parenting. As the kids get older, the presumption the teachers will make is that the kid is on drugs, or is just bored, or dumb.
In adults, untreated narcolepsy can also be profoundly disabling. Mark Mahowell, director of the Regional Sleep Disorder Center at Hennepin County Medical Center, says the affliction is widely misunderstood.
We see many people with narcolepsy who are fired from their jobs because they fall asleep in the workplace. And again, we don't fire people for having angina, asthma, or seizures, but we fire people for falling asleep inappropriately.
Brian Hunter reports that so far he's doing well professionally in spite of narcolepsy.
So we'll be going in right below the jaw.
Brian is an assistant scientist in a medical research lab at the University of Minnesota. Today he's using a microscope and a tiny saw to operate on the ear of a large rodent called a chinchilla.
The more technical it is, actually, the better, the less problems I have with the narcolepsy.
The technical work keeps Brian interested and therefore alert. But boring stuff is a real challenge, and late nights are absolute murder. Brian wants to go to medical school, where drudgery and bad hours are requisite. So, he says his biggest life challenge, both personal and professional, will be explaining to others his invisible condition.
Dealing with life is probably similar to someone that has a mental disorder, chronic depression. It'd almost be nice if it was something very obvious. You know, if I was a paraplegic, people wouldn't expect me to be able to run, but I have a sleep disorder and people just think you're lazy or something.
All right.
In tomorrow's report, how narcolepsy affects the machinery of the brain, how scientists study narcolepsy to reveal normal sleep patterns, and leading-edge research on narcoleptic dogs. This is Stephen Smith, Minnesota Public Radio.
Well, that's the cutting surface on these is tangential, so you need to cut from the side. So once you get your initial hole, you can widen as you please, being careful not to touch the drill here.